Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
All right, well, before we do this message, we have a special announcement. So first off, you're probably noticing Pastor Tom and Jordy are not here. They're in Florida. Everyone say boo. So they're actually watching right now. So in fact, why don't we all shout a hello? So ready? One, two, three.
Hello!
All right, just so they know someone showed up this morning. See, they come even when you're not here. All right. So they're down in Florida. There was a news flash a couple years ago that they did retire, although they've been avidly trying to convince us otherwise, as we all know. But we're going to miss them. They'll be gone, but they'll be down there for about 2 months or a month and a, let's see, is it 2 months? It's about 2 months, maybe a little bit longer. So they'll be back at the end of March. So send your love to them. But if you would normally reach out to them to get prayer, you know, pick another pastor. We got enough on the team here. So they are available still, of course, specifically if you need marriage ministry or something like that. They move so powerfully in that, and they can still do Zoom. But we are trying to let them actually be retired like they're supposed to be. I am very out of breath because I just ran. So if you're wondering why that. Okay, there we go. Take a deep breath. The other exciting thing that we are going to be doing right now, though, is honoring Pat, Pastor Pat. And she has been pastoring for 6 years. So everyone say six. So I've got a really cool scripture here, if I can find it. Oh, God bless my morning brain. Where is it? Here it is. Got it. All right, so I was looking up a scripture, and it says, Exodus 23, you shall sow your land for 6 years and gather in its yield, but on the seventh year you shall have a Sabbath rest, or you shall take a break from the sowing. So as I was praying about this, Pat, that's the scripture I got, and I thought that was really incredible because I counted the years, and it was exactly right on track. So we're going to be actually blessing Pastor Pat as she starts a sabbatical from ministry. And this is something that it's a real gift to be able to give somebody, to honor them for all the years that she has poured out, and to be able to honor her with a season of rest. So we're going to be doing that today. And in this moment, we're actually going to do one thing to honor her. Excuse me. I'm going to be putting this basket in the back. If you can put that on the table in the back. I want to invite you, if you would like to sow into her. So if you have been impacted by her heart for God, by any of her prophetic ministry that she has stewarded and grown over the years, if you have been blessed by her at all, I want to invite you to bless back. And it's a really biblical thing to do, to honor her, not just with our words and with our love, but also with financial support. So that's in the back. If you want to give to her online to bless her and honor her, you can also do that on our website, thriveny.org/give. There's actually a drop-down fund that says sabbatical, and that will go right to her. So this is just, she didn't know that. She didn't ask for that. She didn't know I was going to say that. Hopefully she doesn't kill me later. But I wanted to honor her and show her honor. You know, honor is tangible, and honor is something that's really important to God. And I want to show that to her as a church and honor her for all the work she's done. So if you want to extend a hand, we're just going to bless her right now. So Jesus, I just thank you for Pastor Pat. God, I thank you for all the years, 6 years as a pastor, but so many more years even before she was serving as an ordained pastor. God, we honor her for everything that she has poured out. And Father, we thank you that this would be a season of rest, of refreshment, of healing, of new doors opening, God, that would launch her into a new season where she would even go deeper into all the giftings that you have given her. And we just honor her in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I didn't think you wanted to say anything. Did you want to say anything? Or I'll open the door. So would you like to? Sure. Yeah, please.
Okay. So a sabbatical is usually a year. This isn't going to be a year. We're starting with 3 months and seeing from there, but that's kind of where I'm at. And I am still teaching at Covenant Love, so I'm not leaving the area to go someplace. But I love teaching there. So I'll be in and out. You'll see me here and there, but I just won't be in any official capacity for a while.
So that means if you would normally reach out to her, just pick another pastor. I'm just going to put that on a shirt this morning. If you would normally do this, just pick another pastor. So we do have a phenomenal pastoral team here that I'm just so blessed by God that God has given us. Pastor Rod, who's going to be stepping up to oversee the ministry team that we're going to be relaunching. And it's just a good season. So, all right, moving into our message. I've been told on Kids Sunday that I have permission to preach longer because the kids always run out of time, but I won't do that too much, so don't worry. But we are preaching our third message in our Lace Up series. Who tuned in last Sunday during the ice storm? I'm just curious. Or tuned in like after? Awesome. Awesome. We calculated we probably had like 65 or something viewing online, which was really cool because you always multiply it because there's like more than one person. It's this whole math thing with online viewing. But it was awful weather last Sunday. And just to give you a heads up, we woke up in our apartment. It was really, really cold and icing. And we were like, no, we're going to do it. And then someone walked outside and almost face planted. And we're like, maybe we shouldn't do it. We don't want to kill anyone, right? And then we're like, no, we'll stream from the house. So we started to stream. But does anyone have bad internet? Who has bad internet here? Is it just me? Okay, the few of us. I'm glad no one else is burdened with that. We have horrid internet. So we set up everything near the piano. We were like trying to do it, and then like nobody was watching. And maybe we had like 10 people, and then everything dropped. And several of us had like quick panic attacks and tried to like figure out what the heck to do. And then we're like, I think we won't die if we drive to church. So we're going to drive to church for the gospel. So we got in the car and we like inched over the hill because our car doesn't have snow tires right now. We made it. And then God moved and it was awesome, I think, at least. I experienced God's presence strongly. So I just want you to know what we went through to bring you the gospel last Sunday. This Sunday was a lot easier, except that it was absolutely frigid outside. So it can only get better from here, okay? So I just wanted to, sometimes you need a behind the scenes. But last Sunday we talked about God is redeeming where there has been destruction in your life. All right, so if you listened last Sunday, we were talking about, I had this vision of your home and God, where the walls had heard even yelling and where the walls had heard cursing of your physical home, God was redeeming with his presence. And I also saw that, excuse me, for physical bodies. So where our physical bodies had hurt us, whether we had mental or whatever it was that we had put ourselves through or had been put through by other people, God wanted to redeem our physical body and our physical homes, anywhere we were joining in from. So I really pray that you got breakthrough and that you're still getting breakthrough, because God is a God of redemption and he doesn't want us to just live in the same surroundings. Amen. And then the week before that, we talked about the power of God's peace and how peace is not perfection, but it's the awareness of God's presence, right? If peace was God's perfection, then the Prince of Peace couldn't have been born in a manger, right? Because that was far from perfect. So I'm praying that in this Lace Up series, the Lace Up series is all about going deeper in God's presence in 2022 than you were in 2021. By the end of this year, I know I don't want to be in the same place I am today, but I also know that if I do the same things and I think the same things, then I'm probably going to end up in the same place 12 months from now. So this series is all about lacing up your shoes, as my shoes are historically unlaced because these boots do that, to run the race to win. You can't run a race if your shoes aren't tied, if you don't have the burdens off so you can run with speed. Amen? So you guys tracking? So I've got a couple more shoelace fun facts before diving in. In the Elizabethan era, the shoes and shoelaces you wore told other people how wealthy you were. Strict class distinctions meant the rich wore buckled leather shoes with ribbon laces, while the working man wore rawhide laces in his shoes. So we would see some ribbons and rawhide this morning, right? The mummified remains of Otzi? Anyone know what I'm talking about? No? Okay, good. Then you probably won't correct me. An exhumed Iceman discovered inside of a glacier was found to be wearing bearskin soles with shoelaces. There you have it. So if you think shoelaces are some modern invention, they're actually very old, no matter how you interpret all of history. So shoelaces have been around for a while, and their importance has been around for a while. So I want to get into talk to something here, and we're going to start in Corinthians 9. All right, so if you want to get out your Bible to that, I'm going to get my celery sticks, which I had one individual bring me celery today, and I want to honor him. So that was, I've got three stalks of celery. If I had really planned this out, we could have had a celery competition, and I'll explain in a minute here. But this is actually really biblical, more biblical than and more profound than you might think. So I'm just going to put that down there. So let's read this. Corinthians 9, verse 24. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs? Just say, I'm running. If you didn't know you were running a race this morning, you are running. That's not the question this morning. But only one person gets the prize. So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. Now we've got one track star in the room from Cornell. I won't name names. But so if you need to correct me for any running techniques, just know that I'm open, all right? Because I do not run. But this scripture, I want to look at this scripture in the context that it was written. Every 2 years, the Isthmian Games. Anyone know the Isthmian Games? All right. The Isthmian Games were a pared-down version of the Olympics. Boxing happened in them. Other sports happened in them. Another sport called pan crashing that is apparently like the MMA, but without any rules. So someone here might enjoy that. But what I love is they also included music and poetry in their athletic activities. So Judith, you'd be very athletic in the Isthmian Games. I just want to put that there. You could win the race simply with your poetry and music. But Paul was writing to Corinth, and this is where they had these games every couple years. So when Paul was writing this, he wasn't just writing about running, you know, to get your aerobics in the morning or running some yearly race. He was actually talking about winning something in the context of these games. And I wanted to let you know this very fun fact. Do you know what you would win if you won these games? You would win a crown. I was going to try and make one, but I failed miserably. I should have called Judith. A crown of celery. So everyone say a crown of celery. All right. If you won, you would win a crown of celery. Aren't you glad that we have modernized our winning rewards? All right. I'm just putting that out there. So imagine this is your reward. All right. Now, I'm not a expert on history, but I don't think that celery crowns would last more than a week back then. Maybe eat some hummus with them. So really, maybe the reward is hummus and celery, right? But that was the reward for, like, I mean, they used to, I'm guessing people died in these athletic competitions back then. I mean, an MMA game without any rules, I don't even want to watch the MMA game with rules, right? So you're going to get celery. You're going to give your life for a celery crown. Isn't that incredible? So I just wanted the visual here. If anyone likes celery, we'll be having an auction and selling this off to raise funds for the church after service, okay? but celery crown was all you got. So when Paul is saying, you're going to win a prize that fades away, you know, I've always thought, like, oh yes, gold fades away. A gold crown would fade away, right? He's saying a celery crown would fade away. Don't run for celery. Run for something eternal. All right, so I want to get that in our mind here because I think we've romanticized that scripture to be like, oh, gold will fade away or silver fades away. No, celery fades away a lot quicker, okay? So I don't know about you, but if I'm going to win a crown of celery, I want to know that I'm winning a crown of celery. I don't want to be surprised by a crown of celery at the end of the race, right? I would not give my life for that. Maybe a crown of gold. I'll give my life for that, but not a crown of celery. So it's really important we know if we're running the right race. Say the right race. All right, say it one more time. The right race. All right, so I want to tell you two true stories. One is of a 9-year-old boy named Cade. He made a wrong turn in a 5K and ended up winning a 10K, beating a 40-year-old by a full minute. All right? So he didn't mean to. And apparently at the end of this race, his mom's waiting at the end of the 5K, and she starts to panic, and she starts to get other people to look for her son because she thinks, oh my gosh, he fell on the path, and they're looking and they're looking. And he turns up at the end of the 10K, and his first thought, I watched the little interview, his first thought was he was going to get in trouble. And his mom found him, and he'd, like, broken his record. I don't even know if he'd ever won a 10K, but now he's in the Olympics, as you might imagine. I guess they have a youth Olympics or something as a 9-year-old. So he made the wrong turn, and he won the wrong race, all right? One other is of the Bristol 10K. Everyone say the Bristol 10K. That sounds English. Took place on a Sunday at the same time as the Bristol Half Marathon. The man who ended up winning the half marathon was disqualified because he ran the wrong race. What did Paul say? I don't want to get to the end and be disqualified. He doesn't want to get to the end of the race and be disqualified for running the wrong race. Omar Ahmed, who had originally signed up to run the 10K, accidentally won the half marathon because there was an intersection of the paths and he took the wrong turn. So I want to talk this morning about running the right race, all right? Because I think a lot of us can get going in life. You can even start your year off, and then there's an intersection, and you can make a turn by mistake, or make a turn because of peer pressure, or make a turn because something looks enticing, and you can end up actually running and winning a crown of celery instead of an eternal prize, all right? Are you guys following me? So there are a couple races that I want to mention. Obviously, there's the popularity race, right? This didn't end in high school, even though we can say it did, right? The disciples show us that race. How about the wealth race, the parable of the rich fool who talks about this one? How about sex or relationships? You have David and Bathsheba or Lot's story. How about winning the argument no matter what? Who likes to win arguments in this place? Anybody? We have two honest people. Thank you guys, all right? You should hear Brian and I when we get in a disagreement because we really both like to win. Cain illustrates that issue well, right? No one wants to walk down those shoes. How about achieving a life season first? Anybody try and just, like, you feel like you won the lottery or you won your race if you achieve a life season before someone else? Anybody been there? Maybe you get to retire first or you get to marry first or it's something you gauge, and sometimes it's even subconscious. You don't even know why you feel like you're losing, but it's because you see other people moving in life seasons that are ahead of you or behind of you. Anybody been there? I've been there. So my question this morning is there a race you're running that you are not called to win and you're not called to run? You know, you've got King David. He's a great example of switching races with David and Bathsheba. You've got even Peter, right? He was on the race of intimacy with Jesus. He was pursuing Jesus with everything he had, and then he detoured and denied Jesus, right? So we can't think we're above getting detoured onto the wrong race. Even a disciple of Jesus who could look Jesus in the physical face got detoured. So I want us to think about this morning. So there's a checkpoint, all right? Are you running to Jesus? And I'm going to land this message in just 1 minute on one particular race that I've run by mistake. Mark 12:30, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you've been in the church for any amount of years, or if you're joining in online, maybe you're listening to it for the first time, but this is a scripture that is repeated a lot. Maybe it's repeated if you're in kids ministry, or it's a scripture that maybe we kind of breeze over because we think, oh, like I've heard that 1,000 times. But this scripture is actually what we can measure if we're running the right race or not. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you're running the right race in your life, in your finances, in your relationships, in your mind, you're going to be able to be living this scripture out. This is like a test line on the racetracks, all right? What's a win for you? Why don't you just shout it out? What's a win for you? Would it be like making it through the week? Anyone got that win, right? No, just me? All right, well, I made it through the week, so I'm winning this week. I knew this week was a little nuts for me. I had some adventures this week that I like to word that way. How about a win for you? Maybe you get a raise, right? What are some other wins? There's no wrong answer. Breathing. Let's go real basic, but not. If you're not breathing, you're not winning, right? That's good. Anybody else? Yeah. Having time for a hot beat? Hobby. Don't ask me how I heard hot beat. I don't even know what that is. Okay, hobby. Hobby. I need my ears cleaned. Yes. Yes, a prayer being answered. That's great. Yes, amen. That's a real win too. Anybody else? Yes, Catherine. Peace. Yes. Any other fun wins? Like random wins? I don't know. Loved, being loved and giving love. Yeah. I know I had one, like winning the fight. That could be a win, right? To kind of beef you up, or getting more money. Some of these seem not good, but some of them are good. It just is depending on how you're looking at these wins, right? But in the world's eyes, increase in domination, they spell success, right? And so I want to read this scripture. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. That's Matthew 16:25. I want to break this down real quick before we land it. Save, so whoever wants to save, save means sozo, right? Which is the word that means save, heal, preserve, and rescue. Lose means ruin. So everyone say ruined. So whoever wants to heal their own life, whoever wants to rescue their own life will ruin it. Anyone ever experienced that? But whoever loses their life for me will find it. That word find means discovery, especially after searching. It's the same word used in Matthew 7:7 when it says seek and you will find. So there's this fact that we will lose the race if we're trying to rescue ourselves, if we're trying to save ourselves, if we're trying to be our own savior, our own healer. But we will win when we surrender that job description, that responsibility to God, and instead we take the responsibility of saying yes to him. Does that make sense? Are you guys following? So I want to land this scripture and this message in one race that I have had a very hard time with, and I've definitely detoured onto this path multiple times in my life, and that is the race of exhaustion. All right, so has anybody here ever run the race of exhaustion? Anybody at all? All right, anybody honest in the house this morning? Okay, so the race of exhaustion, you could also call it the burnout race, right? You always want to, like, in the Olympics, don't they, like, carry the torch? You don't want to ever be running with an empty torch, right? That's not the sign of, like, the American pride at the Olympics. It's of a lit torch. In December 2020 and through July 2021, they reported a 21% increase in burnout in employees, and then a 17% increase in physical symptoms of stress like muscle tension and fatigue. All right, so I'm not just talking about a spiritual exhaustion, but I'm talking about a emotional exhaustion that can actually start to affect your body. And, you know, when Jesus came to die on that cross, he came to give us a physical freedom as well as an emotional freedom as well as a spiritual freedom, right? And sometimes we don't get to taste that full freedom until eternity, but he died to give us access to that now. So burnout is not some new COVID symptom, even though it kind of is a side effect of what's happened in our world, but it's been happening for a really long time. But I want to land this message in 1 Kings. And so if you want to turn there, we're literally not going to leave there until we end here. So 1 Kings 19. We're going to be talking about Elijah. And this really spoke to me, and I hope you get some keys to getting out of cycles of exhaustion this morning. If you feel like you're trying to run the race that God has put before you for 2022, make sure you're not running somebody else's agenda or you're running somebody else's expectation, but you're running what you feel you see your Father doing, right? Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. It's a really good checkpoint as you start 2022, that's very hard to say, to say, God, am I doing what I'm seeing you doing in my life? Or am I just doing, right? Because that's an easy way to get detoured onto a race of exhaustion. But I'll define that exhaustion race in 1 second. But first, I want to look at a guy in the Bible, Elijah. So just to give you background on Elijah, first off, he's an incredible prophet, and you can spend time looking at him. And I would encourage you, look at, 1 Kings 17, all the way through 19, in that whole area. If you're looking for a Bible study this week to do in your devotionals, look at the life of Elijah. He's incredible. So he was witness to stopping rain for 3 years. Everyone say 3 years. I can spell, right? 3 years of no rain, all right? He was fed by ravens, All right. Anyone here been fed by a raven? All right. Just putting that out there. He saw a limitless jar of flour and oil. That's like Wegman's shelf, never running dry and no one restocking it. Okay. That would be incredible. People from the entire world would come to look at that one shelf, wouldn't they? He witnessed a resurrection, and he was in the Old Testament, to clarify. He beat the enemy by calling down fire from heaven. Isn't that amazing? I want to call fire from heaven. Not just spiritual fire, but literally lit wet wood on fire. That's incredible. And then this is my favorite, and I was really hoping that the Vincents were here. If you don't know them, they run a comic store in Cortland. But he actually ran faster than a chariot. That is superhero level, and Brian filled me in because I'm not really a superhero savvy person. He said that would be the Flash, all right? So if I'm wrong with that, talk to Pastor Brian. That is not my area of expertise. But Elijah was running like the Flash. Wouldn't that be amazing? So let's just say you saw rain stop for 3 years. You called fire down from heaven. That would be a good year in my book. That'd be a good few years in my book. In fact, I don't know how I would top that with anything else other than like Jesus coming to earth in front of my face, right? That's my perspective at least. But here we find Elijah in 1 Kings 19, 1 through 8. And this is where we're going to land. You can just keep your Bible here. We're going to start at 1. When Ahab got home... So this is like after all of these miracles happening, okay? When Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way he had killed all the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah: "May the gods strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as you killed them." Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. Everyone say Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. All right. Now, he just saw... limitless jar of flour and oil. He saw fire from heaven. He was fed by birds. And yet one voice made him afraid and run for his life. And I want to point something out here. When we get tired and when we get sidetracked onto a race of exhaustion, sometimes we open ourselves up to a voice of shame or a voice of self-condemnation. Or if you see somebody tired, a voice of accusation or judgment. If you're tired, you must have missed something big. But did Elijah miss something? I mean, he did in the moment, right? He was listening to the wrong voice. But he had just had this powerful ministry. So if you're tired, it doesn't mean that you haven't been walking in the calling of God. That's what I'm trying to say. There doesn't need to be shame accompanied with exhaustion. And the word Jezebel, has anyone heard a message on Jezebel? Some people are like, Jezebel, right? And everyone's like, run. I don't know why Jezebel is still making people run today. I'm like, what is wrong with this, right? Do you know what the word Jezebel means? It just means not exalted. So Elijah heard a voice that was not exalted, heard a voice that was not from God's exalted perspective, and it made him afraid and run the other way. So we get into seasons of exhaustion when we actually are listening to the wrong voice and running, and then we run the other way. I'm not talking about resting in God. I'm saying there are moments when God calls us to rest. I am talking about when we get to a place where we feel so exhausted, we feel like giving up, or we feel like we detour to the wrong race, all right? So you get off the race of God and into a race of burnout or exhaustion when you expect God to move in a certain way or circumstance to go in a certain way, and they don't, all right? So let me explain this. See, after the Baal worshipers... after showing the Baal worshippers the true God by calling down fire, right? That's a highlight of ministry. I would call that a highlight. Elijah expected the Israelites to repent, right? So let me bring you here. Let's say we go downtown to the Ithaca Commons, and there's some people down there that don't know God, and we say, we're going to prove to you that our God is real. In fact, we're going to call down fire from heaven. And, you know, in one of those little cool pavilions, this comes down, and... we got a bonfire on the Ithaca Commons, right? The Ithaca Fire Department have to show up to prove it's a real fire. You got flames, you got smoke. People are stopping their cars. I don't know about you, but if I was there and we prayed and that happened, I'd be like, the whole city is coming to Jesus. Revival starts today. Wouldn't you? A supernatural miracle. And what I love is God does use supernatural miracles to show his character, but God doesn't need to prove his character, right? And I think that's important to know. But fire comes down, I would think the whole city is going to know Jesus. But did the whole area repent? No, they didn't. And so Elijah felt his entire mission to call the nation to repentance had failed, because he'd seen all these supernatural miracles. He'd prayed all these prayers. He'd given his life to this mission as a prophet. And yet the outcome he wanted to see didn't happen. And so he started listening to voices that were not God, and started listening to voices that were lower than God's perspective. And he started paying more attention to them, and he turned and he ran. Are you guys following me? So you get out onto the race of exhaustion when you depend more on your own efforts and strength than God's. And when you listen to voices of people or situations that are not seated in high places. All right? And so I just want you to think, if there's like even just one area in your life where you've been feeling burned out, if you've been feeling like giving up, I want you to stop and say, have I been listening to God's voice, or have I been listening to the unexalted voices? Have I been trusting in my own strength and my own timing for the breakthrough instead of God as the healer, right? So I want you to write down three ways that we can get back onto the right race with God, get out of an exhaustion point and back into the right race. So number one, let God feed you and give you rest. So in verse 5, I believe this is still 1 Kings 19. I didn't write the first part down. Is this 1 Kings 19 still? I think so. Yeah. Okay, good. Then he lay down and slept under the broom tree. When in doubt, take a nap. Everyone say, take a nap. That can be a very spiritual thing. I'm not kidding. Sometimes the whole world looks better after a nap. You thought you were under attack, but you just needed a nap. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, get up and eat. He looked around, and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones in a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, get up and eat some more, or the journey ahead will be too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank, and the food gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. So first, he lay down and he took a nap. And sometimes we need to stop and take a nap, for sure. But in that place of weakness, God sent an angel to give him supernatural bread. And so if you're in a place of exhaustion, I want to invite you to, that's a time to actually go to the Word of God, not ignore the Word of God. A pastor that I really respect, he used to say if he was in a tough spot, he'd open the book of Psalms and he would read until God spoke to him. Because David had all of these emotional ups and downs and faces all these challenges. So if you're in a tough spot, get into the book of Psalms, if nothing else, and just don't stop reading until God begins to speak to you. But number two, go to your Mount Sinai. Everyone say Mount Sinai. I love this. This is what really spoke to me. He said, and gave him strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai. I thought, why would Elijah go to Mount Sinai? And I actually had a picture I was going to put up that I forgot to give to the media, but it's a picture of Mount Sinai. And who was here for Pastor Drake, right? He was an incredible guy and man of God who has seen all these miracles, but he actually leads tours to Mount Sinai, which is, I believe, in Saudi Arabia. Well, there's this mountain that actually has a burn mark around it, like a fire fell and singed the rock. And they've looked at it scientifically, and there's like no way this could happen without literal fire engulfing this mountain. And you can see an actual burn line. It's amazing. So this obviously made my bucket list to go see Mount Sinai for many reasons. But when Elijah went there, I'm assuming that burn mark would be there from Moses, right? So he went to a place where God had actually given the Israelites a path for repentance. So Elijah's here. His mission in life is to call them to repentance, and they're not repenting. So he decided to go to a place of testimony. Are you guys following? He went to a place of testimony where he said, God, you have done it before. You can do it again. I'm looking at where you've done it with my own eyes. I'm touching the rocks that you touched and called an entire nation to repentance. Are you guys following me? So if you're in a place of feeling like giving up, if you're in a place of feeling burnout, I don't care if it's in your finances or if it's in a relationship or if it's in your workplace or in your health or your perspective on life or your parenting or whatever it is, whatever life season you're in, if you're in a place of giving up or burned out, I want to invite you and commission you to go to the place of testimony. You have a Mount Sinai. Just say, I have a Mount Sinai. And just say, I'm sitting next to a Mount Sinai. That's why in this church we started Testimony Sunday, which we kind of let dwindle at the end of last year, but we'll be relaunching that next month. Because when you're in a place of giving up, God doesn't say, okay, well, go watch TV and isolate. He says, go to Mount Sinai. Go to where the place of testimony is. Go talk to someone who has been in your shoes before and let them speak faith and hope and breath of life back into you. Does that make sense? We share our Mount Sinais in this church. There is no shame if you need to go to a Mount Sinai in your finances or you need to go to a Mount Sinai in your situation. Go to the Mount Sinai. Go to someone and hear a testimony and get encouraged and get built up and get fresh perspective so that you're not alone when you're in that place of feeling like giving up. Are you guys following? This is so important. If you don't know someone in this church that has gone through what you've gone through, talk to one of the pastors, because I guarantee you there's somebody else. We're not alone. You know, Elijah thought he was alone. He was like, I'm the only one left. But he wasn't. There were 100 other prophets. There were many other people. But in his place of discouragement, he thought, I'm the only one going through this. I'm the only one that has failed, that God has failed me, that I have failed my call in life. And God is saying, you're not alone, but you got to go to the Mount Sinai. You have to hear the testimony. You have to have faith be spoken back into you. Are you guys following?
Yes.
All right. So we're going to be launching that back up next month. But something that going to Mount Sinai does is when someone comes to you and says, tell me something that God has done in your life. Tell me something God has done in your finances, whatever it is. And someone tells you it. It breaks down the opportunity for condemnation, for correction, for judgment. Because I can't judge you if you need a Mount Sinai. And it's not my job to tell you to go to Mount Sinai, but it is my job to invite you by sharing my testimony. Does that make sense? We've got all different backgrounds coming in the doors, and as we grow, we'll continue to have all different backgrounds and all different kinds of hardship and challenges that each one of us have faced. And there is no shame in this church. It's a judgment-free zone like Planet Fitness, right? But in order to walk that out, we need to invite people to come to a place of testimony to be filled with hope. If God did it for me, he can do it for you. It won't look the same. I'm not putting my faith in an outcome, but I am putting my faith in God who met the Israelites at Mount Sinai and a whole nation repented. Are you guys following? This is exciting. I know it's cold out and I know it's hot in here and I hope that's not putting you to sleep. Number three, be real with God and then invite him to be real with you in a new way. I'm almost done, but I felt this was so important because I'm not talking about anybody out here. I needed to hear this message. Something about starting 2022, there were jokes. It was like, oh no, it's 2022. Did anyone hear that joke? I was like, I bind you in Jesus' name, right? Anybody else do that? I was like, I don't need to see any more memes. I am done. I am off the internet, right? And if you're off the internet, God bless you. It's probably a good thing to do. But, you know, coming into this new year, depending on where you are in your life, you might be coming in slightly burned out. And burned out is this hot topic in ministry, you know, like, oh, you know, burned out. Okay. But what are you doing in that place? Are you going to the Mount Sinai or are you running away? Are you running to God? And it looks different for every person. We cannot judge people and what that journey looks like, but there is an invitation to run to God. So number three, be real with God and then invite him to be real with you. 1 Kings 19, 9 through 10. The Lord said to Elijah, what are you doing here? I love it when Jesus asks a question and it's very obvious he knows the answer. Has God ever asked you a question and you're like, I see what you're doing, right? Anybody? Anybody? Elijah replied, I have zealously served the Lord, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. Right? So in this place of exhaustion, everybody else has failed me. I haven't seen you do what I thought you had called me to do, so I feel I've failed. And on top of that, there's no one else that's going through what I'm going through. Have you ever been in that position? I have, more often than I'd like to admit. All right? But God said, go out and stand before me on the mountain. Go out to the place of testimony and stand before me. If you're in a place of giving up this morning, go out, come here, and stand and worship in the place of testimony. Stand and lift your hands in the place of testimony. Stand and lift your hands. Do you know how many testimonies have happened in this place? Stand in the Mount Sinai. Stand in the place of testimony. And what I love is that word stand doesn't just mean to stand, although please stand and worship because that's great, right? A physical act of what we're doing spiritually. But stand actually means to be employed. Like a coworker, like you're my boss, I'm employed by you. God is saying, be employed by the testimony. Be employed by me. Don't answer to other people in this moment of weakness, but answer to me. Stop answering to Jezebel. Stop answering to that voice that is lower than my voice and answer to me. Be employed by me. And I love this because God wanted to hear Elijah's reality. And then he wanted to share his reality with Elijah. God doesn't want to just ignore what you're going through or not hear your reality. He cares about you telling him about what is going on in your life, in your workplace, in your home, in your finances. He wants to hear. He says, why are you here? What do you need? What's going on? And Elijah shares. But just because you're sharing your reality with God doesn't mean that it is the only reality and it is the highest reality. Our job is not to convince God that we need him, right? But our job is to tell him what's going on and then to let him show us what's really going on, right? So the path of intimacy, of standing before God, is being employed by him. Verse 11, as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. Everyone say windstorm. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. I tell you what, if a windstorm hit us right now, I would say a Holy Spirit move just happened. Wouldn't you? Again, these supernatural miracles. I'd be like, that's it. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. That's just a little news flash, just because an earthquake happens. God's not always in that, all right? So an earthquake happens. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. Now, wait a second. Wasn't just a couple chapters ago the Lord in the fire? Wasn't he? All right, but he wasn't in the fire this time. And then there was a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak, and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. When God, and by the way, that cave, Pastor Drake, texted me a photo of Elijah's cave right at the bottom where the singe is, because he's going there in a month. And he was like, look, I'm going to be right there. And I was like, oh my gosh, there's the cave. This is real. This is a real story, right? Isn't that amazing? Who wants to go there? I mean, like, wouldn't that be like the most epic trip ever? I love going to biblical places. If Elijah had only expected God to move in the same way that he moved last season, he would have missed God. And when you're in a place of feeling burned out, if you are expecting God to move how he moved a couple chapters ago in your life, you're going to miss the gentle whisper that's inviting you closer and inviting you in to breakthrough. Are you guys following? I know this is important. As a pastor, if I am like counting on God and expecting God to move how he did 5 years ago, like when we had our school of supernatural ministry that was epic and awesome and God was moving, if I'm only expecting God to move that way, I'm going to miss how he's moving right here. If I'm only expecting God to move the way he used to move in the fish fry 10 years ago, however long that was ago, these were amazing now things that we were supposed to do. And I'm not saying we shouldn't do it again or whatever, but if I'm only expecting God to move how he moved in the last season, I will miss how he's moving in this season. So if you just stand your feet, I want to end here. Number 4, do not disqualify yourself from God's purpose if you have gotten off track. How many would call Elijah off track in this moment in his life, right? He ran away. And he climbed a mountain. We don't got no mountains here to climb, but if we did, I know I sometimes, even this week, would have been on top of Mount Sinai if there was a physical Mount Sinai to be on top of with some of what life hit me with. But in 2 Kings 2:11, As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire, I want to see that, appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. All right, so Elijah's moment of discouragement and of being afraid of a threat didn't disqualify him from being taken up to heaven. And somebody needs to hear us today. Your moment right now in your life is not disqualifying you from your season of fulfilling God's calling on your life, from the supernatural moving again in your life. This moment that you're in right now doesn't disqualify you from being taken to heaven. I mean, maybe we all don't get a chariot. I would like a chariot personally, but I'll take any way to heaven that I can get, right? But this is really important, because when we feel like giving up, I know when I'm having a bad day, I feel like that bad day disqualifies me from standing here in this place with this microphone. But me being discouraged doesn't disqualify me from standing here. If I give that discouragement from God, then I'm going to become a Mount Sinai. And I can tell you, if you've been discouraged like I have, you can climb the Mount Sinai too. And you can hear the voice. And you can see God move in a way you've never seen him move. And you can also go to heaven. You can get heaven on earth as it is in heaven in your life. Because nothing can disqualify you from the next season that God has for you. Amen? This message was so much on my heart. I was supposed to preach it last Sunday, and then I sat on it another week, so it's been marinating for 2 weeks. And I was going to preach something completely different, and I like wrote two sermons 2 weeks ago, and I was like, I'm going to be doing this. And then I just kept hearing exhaustion, exhaustion, exhaustion. So I don't know if that's for you or for someone you know, but I want to let you know there is no shame in feeling like giving up. We've all been there. Some of us are there right now. Some of us, even in a certain area in our life, are there right now. I'm there right now in a couple areas. But I'm not going to listen to Jezebel. I'm not going to listen to the voice that's not exalted. I'm going to put my trust in the healer, not the healing, in the overcomer, not the outcome. Amen? So I want to release that over you this morning. And I just want to conclude. When you find yourself detoured from God's race for your life, and you're in that race of giving up or discouragement, let God feed you and give you rest through his word, through his presence, and through his church community. Fill your life with testimonies of people encountering Jesus in the place you are in. Find your Mount Sinai. You don't have to look outside these four walls to find a Mount Sinai in this place. Talk to a pastor. Ask, has anybody gone through this? Right? We're here to build each other up. Be real with God, and then invite him to be real with you in a new way. You can be real with God. He's not afraid of you being real with him, but don't then just walk away. Let him be real with you, and I mean that in his real love, his real power. And then don't disqualify yourself because God isn't. I don't want to get to the end of 2022 and found out that I just won a crown of celery, right? I don't want to be tired and end up with celery at the end of my year. That would be a real dud of a year, okay? And so I want to encourage you. Are you winning for celery? Are you running for celery? Or are you running for an eternal prize? Are you running with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind? Do you love the Lord your God? And are you loving your neighbor as yourself? That's the litmus test. And every single one of us has an area that we can run more in God's race than any other race that we're running. Every person here, it might be a different area in your life, but as a church, I want to run the right race. I don't want to look backwards. I want to look forwards. I want to be listening for the whisper, not just distracted by the fire and the wind. All right? So if you need that in your life, I just want to invite you to open up your hands. I'm just going to pray for you as we close out here. God, I thank you that in seasons where we feel like giving up, where we are listening to discouraging voices, God, that actually breaks your heart. God, it's not just a light thing. It's actually something that breaks your heart, because you died to give us an encouraging, championing voice that says, run, run, run. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep your eyes on the prize for the joy set before you. Even if you can't taste that joy right now in its fullness, there's a joy set before you. And so, Jesus, I just thank you for right now, any area in our life whether it's in a relationship, in parenting, in a workplace, in our health, in our mind, in our finances, in our future, in a situation with somebody, any place, God, where we feel like giving up, where we feel like listening to a voice that is not exalted, God, first we turn and repent, because that's not hitting the mark, and sin means to miss the mark. So God, we repent. We turn from any other voices and we listen to you, Jesus. But I just release a courage and a reminder to open ourselves up to hear the voice of testimony. God, that you would, we just invite you to draw us to the place of hope. If we are sidelining and listening more to discouragement, God, I thank you for turning us and facing us toward Mount Sinai, facing us toward where your faithfulness has been before and can be again. God, open our eyes. Any area where there is hurt or where there has been anything from anybody else that has been put on us, God, we give that to you and we invite you to come and to show us the place of your faithfulness once again. To open our ears to hear your whisper right here, right now. We wouldn't be distracted by even supernatural things, even things that maybe we think would be you, but we would hone in and we would listen to your whisper, and your whisper would guide us to the finish line of 2022 in every area of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Well, I hope this message blessed you. I want us to lace up and run to win this year, and I want to give us the tools to do that. And so, as always in this church, we encourage being a witness. So my commission to you is this: find somebody to share a testimony with this week, all right? I'm not talking about your life testimony for 5 hours, all right? That's probably awesome, but how about a 30-second one, okay? Someone in your life or someone here in this place. It can be the most awkward phone call or text message or voice memo, all right? But build each other up. That's actually one of the jobs of the body of Christ, all right? And let's show each other our Mount Sinai's so that we can listen to God's voice clearer than before. Amen? All right, so right now, I have a special announcement. We are going to be starting the parents class almost immediately. So if you are a parent, and I want to clarify something here. I'm not just talking about a mom or a dad. I am talking about any kind of caregiver to a child. So if you're a grandparent, if you're an aunt or uncle, it doesn't matter, okay? If you're a single parent, we're just talking about anybody who is watching over a child. And this class is going to be focused from 0 to 18. And I did say zero. but if you have a 19 or 20-year-old, please don't feel like you can't be part of this. You will learn something, I'm very sure. This is actually a series that we're going to be doing once a month on the second Sunday, and it's actually a curriculum. So there's going to be a little video. It's 9 minutes. Please do not be afraid. And then we're going to have some discussion. And who saw the new Parent Resource Hall? Anyone see the Parent Resource Hall? Yes, isn't that cool? So if you're a parent or you know a parent, know that we are committed to helping parents thrive and helping their kids thrive for the rest of their life, starting right here. So that resource wall is actually going to be available, and the little brochures underneath the poster are what I'll be handing out today in the parenting class. And we'll, every new person from here on out will get one for their age, for their kids' age. Okay? So come on up to the front, or you can just stay in a line. We're going to watch a 9-minute video. We'll start in about 10 minutes, so you can go out and go to the bathroom. But I will be starting right at 12 o'clock. No questions asked, because Pastor Brian has graciously volunteered to watch all the kids. So we will not run over, because I will hear about it later when I get home, all right? So if you've got a child, maybe just check on them. And then if they need a snack or something and there's an issue, talk to me. Brian will be out with your children. You can be in here. I believe there is food outside as well. I know it's a low food Sunday, okay? If you need ministry as well, Pastor Rod is not here this morning, but Pastor Caleb will be up here at the front. If you would like prayer, please do not hesitate. Come right up to him. All right, bless you guys.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.